From the unexplained to the mundane, come join us on a journey to the fringe. Hello and welcome to Journey to the Fringe, where I think it's fair to say sometimes we don't wing it, but sometimes it's close. And we'll never tell you which ones. And I think some of the best ones are close to winging. Yeah. But anyhow, Chelsea, what's your episode?
Yeah.
Sorry, we are your podcast hosts, Taylor and Chelsea. Chelsea, what's your episode?
Here I am, definitely not winging it like that opener. I thought I would do an elaboration, perhaps another episode. I don't know. I'm definitely not winging this. So I'm going to start with a refresher on who we're talking about right now. And that is Beam. Do you know who Beam is?
Is it Billy Mays? Are we talking? No, Billy Myers. Sorry. Billy Mays is the infomercial guy.
Yeah. We have a real hard time with Billy Myers' name.
Once we remember Billy Mays' name, it's really hard to not think of him every time.
So Beam is Billy Meyer, and I can't remember why it's Beam. Billy Edward Alligator Meyer. I don't know what the
A is. Alligator. Alligator. Isn't it B-E-E-M or is it B-E-A-M?
B-E-A-M.
Okay. Because you can spell Beam either way.
I think it is. Anyhow, don't hold me to that in case you go back to the episode. I should have told you what episode that we're talking about it in, but from most recently, the Assholes episode. Just to give you a refresher on Meyer first off, before we go on to bigger and greater things, because it's about portion. He ties into it, let's say. Meyer claims to have been in regular contact with extraterrestrial beings he calls the Plagiarin, formerly referred to as the Pleiadians, since 1942 when he was 5 years old. According to his accounts, his primary contacts include an elderly man named Sfath and a woman named Semjassy.
He was the one with Ptah, right?
Yeah. Ptah's in there somewhere. I still haven't learned if I'm pronouncing these names correctly, but I'm just going off English vibes. The evidence that he had, which was a lot... During the 1970s, Meyer produced hundreds of photographs, film footage of his space adventures, and sound recordings of what he calls beam ships. Yeah, he called them that. In brackets, UFOs is what beam ships are. He also presented metal samples that he claimed were of extraterrestrial origin. It was probably just tinfoil. The controversy lies in his claims, widely characterized as fraudulent by many scientists and ufologists. Critics, including his ex-wife, have suggested his photos were created using small models made from household items such as trash can lids and Christmas ornaments, and oh, do they ever look like it. The impact of Meyer and his claims is one of the most famous photographs. A silver dish-shaped craft hovering over the Swiss countryside is the image featured on the I Want to Believe poster in Fox Mulder's office in The X-Files. So it's about as mainstream as you could get for. I don't know that you would recognize any other like major UFO. Other than that one, do you think there's any other major ones?
No, but let's face it, there's not a lot of famous UFO photos.
Yeah, it's probably just that one. Not that it's famous, but it was on a good TV show. Now, Billy, he had one arm, by the way. He started the FIGU.
One arm Billy.
Which is an acronym for Frey Intersegmentenschaft für Grenz und Geistenschwessenschaften and Ufologistudien, which in English is Free Community of Interest for the Border and Spiritual Sciences and Ufological Studies. Instead, I call it the FIGU. Well, I think everybody does. Its mission, to start with, it was founded in the late 1970s. The FIGU is a non-profit organization based in Hinterschmidtruti, Switzerland. It serves as the official body for preserving and disseminating Meyer's contact reports, transcripts of his alleged conversations with extraterrestrials.
I did miss the Figu website.
Yeah.
It's pretty great. Yeah.
FIGU focuses on spiritual teaching, which Meyer claims was given to him by the Plagiarum. These teachings emphasize personal responsibility, the laws of creation, and a rejection of traditional organized religions. The silent revolution of truth. This phrase is often used by FIGU members to describe their efforts to spread what they believe is the truth about extraterrestrial life and human origin without seeking mainstream fame or admiration. I didn't cover this in my previous episodes on Beam, so I wanted to first take a look at key... Well, let me back up a little bit. I thought that we would dig a little bit more into Billy Meyer and just poke around and see what's going on with him. And I found some pretty cool stuff to look at in the... Well, cool's a stretch. It's something.
You found an episode.
Yeah. It's something. I didn't cover this in my previous episodes on Beam, so I wanted to first take a look at predictions. So let's see what's come true and what's not. Under the topic of environmental and natural disasters, global warming and climate change. In the 1950s, Meyer predicted that the Earth was heating up and that this would lead to an increase in hurricanes, tornadoes, and massive flooding. Checkmark, Billy Meyer. I don't know in the 1950s if that was something that was kind of on the radar.
It was.
Yeah,
I would. That's about when the first Chevron emails go back to the 1950s, where they're describing it. The first person to really talk about carbon dioxide as a global insulator that would make heat stay within the planet.
Oh, interesting.
Was in the 1800s. So it's at least the idea that burning oil on the planet leading to global warming has been around for about 150 years.
Oh, wow. Holy shit. Okay. Well, I'm glad you have that knowledge on that. Next one, destabilization of Cumbre Vieja. He predicted that the western flank of the Cumbre Vieja volcano in the Canary Islands would become unstable and eventually slide into the Atlantic, creating a massive tsunami. I don't know about that one. That's the first time I've ever heard Cumbre Vieja.
Well, yeah, nobody knows about it. It slid into the ocean. So well, we forgot about it.
Was this even a thing? Let's check it out. Did slide into ocean? It's still there. And it said is the risk of undergoing a large landslide, which could cause a tsunami in the Atlantic Ocean. So it sounds like it's something that's fairly on the radar as far as this volcano was concerned. San Francisco earthquake. Meyer has long predicted a catastrophic earthquake that will destroy San Francisco. I wonder if he knows that that happened. It was a long time ago.
I assume he has to.
When did he...
That's was probably why he picked that town to, you know, have it.
Yeah. When was the San Francisco earthquake?
1910s, I want to say.
Yeah, it was a big long
one.
Time.
I think there was one in the 1980s.
Yeah, so he just picked another one. This has already happened. It's probably going to happen again, right?
Yeah.
As far as geopolitical and social shifts, I am so tempted to say something right now as a joke, but I'm going to withhold that within myself. Rise of Islamic terrorism. Meyer predicted a surge in global terrorism originating from the Middle East, specifically naming the rise of Islamic extremism. Interesting.
When did he make that comment?
1958.
Okay.
Oh, and you know where this prophecy came from? Prophetic letters sent to various governments. Because Beam is just that off the hook insane. He predicted World War III. That's just a given. You got to predict World War III. He warned of a third global conflict far more destructive than previous ones involving nuclear, chemical, and biological weapons. He's just building on stuff that already has happened. The fall of the Soviet Union. He allegedly predicted the collapse of the USSR and the subsequent geopolitical reorganization of Europe. He did that one February
28th, 1987. Okay, so what? He's off by, what, 2 years, I think? I guess you could see it coming at that point.
Probably. But... it's not that far off.
Yeah. And he was making predictions in the 50s, so, like, I don't know what made him at that point decide on that.
That's true. Maybe he was just reading the newspaper.
Yeah, it's kind of getting ahead of those articles or, like... somebody yelling at the TV saying, say, I knew that's what was going to happen. Like, just before it happens.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Astronomical events that he predicted, the red meteor. Meyer predicted that a red meteor would endanger Earth in 2029 and 2036. This has been linked by his followers to the asteroid Apophis.
I'm going to have to remember that one because it kind of ties into something else.
Really? Jupiter's moon, Io. He described volcanic activity on Io before it was confirmed by the Voyager probes. Logically. Yeah. I knew it was before the probes were there. Technological and scientific predictions. Sleek, mirrorless cars. During a journey into the future, Meyer claimed to see small cars with smoothly rounded corners that lacked side view mirrors. Deep sea mining and explosions. He warned that gas or water entering underground magma chambers due to human interference or natural shifts would lead to massive volcanic ejecta.
Okay.
Never heard it put that way. Yeah, so those are the predictions. Just wanted to cover a few of what he's looking out for.
Some seem, yeah, some of them seem spot on or at least somewhat accurate, whereas others are just kind of out to lunch.
Yeah. Now, this is just a small, bite-sized sample of predictions.
And that's the whole thing about predictions. They can't all be right.
Yeah, exactly.
I assume. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who would want that? It's like, nobody likes to be right.
Nobody
every
has
time.
100% accuracy in anything, I don't think. Unless it's us and uploading podcast episodes every Friday.
Yeah, 100% every time. Only thing reliable on planet Earth.
So the next thing that I want to go over is the latest contact publication from Billy's website. This was uploaded just at the beginning of the month.
Oh, no way. 2026.
All of his contact reports are laid out like a weird Wikipedia government page. I don't even know how to describe this to you. It looks like Wikipedia, but it has like Simjassy Silver Star Center logos with a UFO like twirling around the Earth. It's weird. It's really weird. Yeah, just like it. Anyhow, on one side it has the English translation. The other side it has the perfect German language version. So they're both laid out side by side. I'm going to skip the German translation for you guys.
That's probably for the best.
And just go right into the English.
Yeah. We don't need, like we said, we don't need 100%. Only on publishing. Not in our reading.
So, I really don't want to read this whole fucking thing to you guys, but I'm going to read as much as I can take. So, as we saw in our episodes, I don't know how, in what manner he's contacting these people. I don't know if he's just sitting there at the computer, he's probably just sitting there making it all.
We went over it in the episode, I'm fairly certain, and it is weird. Because, like, he doesn't actually channel, he can just, like, say the things and be like, yeah, Pata told me, and it's like, would happen while they're talking, he's talking to other people.
Yeah, oh, it's so fucking weird. Anyhow, let's do it. 923rd contact, Saturday, 27 December 2025, 12:41 hours. Quetzal, greetings, dear friend, but it is not possible for me to do otherwise, for I have to take you away for some time today, though I will bring you back at the same time I take you away now. But this is necessary because... Billy, it's all right. I am a bit unwell, though, because... I suppose I cannot do anything about that because... But it will be all right if I pull myself together a bit. Quetzal, then I can... Billy, no, I do not want to do that because... Quetzal, of course, then we should go because we are expected.
Yeah? Do you want me to read one of the characters?
Oh, yeah.
So that you don't have to say who's speaking? Okay.
You didn't like that I was doing that.
I think it'll be easier for everybody to understand if it can just be differentiated by who's saying it.
Okay, I'm gonna put it in general.
Do you want to be Billy or do you want to be Quetzal?
I think you do a good Quetzal.
Okay.
I'll be okay. Billy.
Okay, and getting into character, Quetzal, okay.
do German Quetzal. I'll do English Billy.
Greetings, dear friend, but it is not possible for me to do otherwise, for I have to take you away for some time today. Though I will bring you back at the same time I take you away now, but this is necessary because...
This is fucking weird. It is all right. I'm a bit unwell, though, because I suppose I cannot do anything about that, because... But it will be all right if I pull myself together a bit.
Then I can...
No, I do not want to do that, because...
Of course! Then we should go, because we are expected.
Okay, let us hit the road then. Where the fuck are they doing a road trip?
That's the... I really want to know if that's what he said in German. Anyhow, we can also have private conversation there then, after which I will bring you back at the present time.
So weird. That is also good. Let us go now then. Now that we are back and we know that the man has died and... What? Now that we are back and we know that the man has died and his written legacy but has been burned since.
Of course, I will endeavor for that to dictate our coffee to you, which I will do as soon as possible.
Good, thank you. Then we can talk about other things now, because I have one more question, and I want to ask it first, because someone cannot get to grips with the fact that the refugees who were recently taken in by your Federation came from a galaxy just over 4,600 or so light years away. It apparently cannot be understood that another galaxy should not be millions of light years away from the next one, such as our Milky Way galaxy and the Andromeda galaxy, which are about 2.5 million light years apart. People do not realize that galaxies do not necessarily have to be millions or even billions of light years apart. As I know, there are many small galaxies that are relatively very close and only about 130 light years apart, as I was able to determine Wisfath when he showed me this on screen in the Ankar universe. So I know that your galaxy is also a spiral galaxy, but a completely different one to ours. Yours has two spiral arms, but unlike our galaxy, they extend from the center of the galaxy on both sides, whereby your solar system is located in one of the spiral arms, which, together with the center of the galaxy and the other spiral arm, has a diameter or a total length of just over 400 light years. If I remember correctly, what your grandfather taught me... Oh yeah, is it Ptah that's the grandfather?
Yeah, I remember that too. There's a lineage.
On both sides of your galaxy, the center of which is only about 30 light years across, I remember, with one small galaxy on each side of the galaxy many light years across, and your two small galaxies exist in the other closer region of your galaxy. If I know...
This is all the preamble for a question, remember? Yes, one more question.
If I now consider that, there's no way he's making all this shit up, right?
No, who is making
this
up?
This is how people ask questions. They give you all the information first.
And you get comfortable enough with an alien that you're constantly cutting them off, like, as soon as they start a sentence at the beginning.
Yep. Okay, if I now consider that outside our Milky Way, which, as far as I know, is calculated to be about 106,000 light years in diameter, there are also dwarf galaxies, then it is possible that if one of these or one of the planets is destroyed or the like, and furthermore harbors life, human or human-like, those beings might flee and seek help in the nearest galaxy and possibly find it, if they are lucky, and their encounter similar beings, etc. As I know from Sfath, small galaxies are also bound to our Milky Way, to my knowledge, about 55 or more of them, which are gravitationally bound to our spiral Milky Way. And so it is clear that there are not millions and billions of light years of distance between one galaxy and another, as it is the case between the Milky Way galaxy and the large Andromeda galaxy. In our DERN universe, what the fuck does that mean? It's D-E-R-N. Capitals. It stands for some shit. Universe and explicitly outside the Milky Way galaxies are also gravitationally bound, although I do not know how far away they are. These are only... Was that the question? No, that was a statement.
No, nope, there's still question coming. The end of this ends with a question mark, wonder Chelsea, what this question way is. At the end.
These are only small galaxies, but they are galaxies. And as far as I know, there are probably trillions or even quadrillions of them in the entire cosmos. And I would also like to say that what we see from Earth in our universe with regard to the cosmos is only the least of what effectively exists. Our astronomers also know that these exist. But as far as the galaxies that are still within gravitational range of our Milky Way are concerned, at a distance of only about 4,600 light years, none of them are as close as the refugees were. And as I have checked, there actually are at least 55 small galaxies in the gravitational field of our Milky Way, such as the spiral galaxy M100 at a distance of 20,000 light years, the Tucana 3 galaxy at a distance of around 80,000 light years, and of course Draco 3 at 70,000, as well as Virgo at a distance of 30,000 light years. These are what we Earthlings call satellite galaxies or dwarf galaxies, such as the so-called Wire Galaxy, which is around 27,000-ish light years away, the large Magellanic Clouds, which are around 162 light years away, the small Magellanic Clouds, which are 2,200,000 light years away, or the Ursa Major Galaxy, which is around, this is just 10,000 light years away, maybe. Now, the question is, what? The question is, can you say anything more about this, Quetzal?
You have already explained everything that needs to be said, but it should be added that the dwarf galaxies are extragalactic star systems that rarely support life and are also normally smaller globular clusters between larger galaxies. These small galaxies are faint and also quite numerous in the gravitational range of large galaxies and very often of elliptical, spheroidal, or irregular shapes. They are often companions of large galaxies, as is the case with your Milky Way galaxy, and they are formed by intense star formations in early phases of the universe. As a rule, they consist of only hundreds of millions or a few billion stars, i.e. suns.
You don't use that in conversation.
Stars. What? You know, suns. Oh, yeah. And consequently, numerous solar systems with planets and moons, etc. Some small galaxies are only a few light years or a few thousand light years in size, but they play a very important role in the formation of stars. And what I have to mention to your question is that it was one of the two small galaxies where the refugees came from, but it doesn't support life. Sorry, that's outside of Quetzal's statement.
The rest has all been entirely within it. Oh, was that the end?
Yes, that is the end.
Okay. What you say regarding small galaxies, I know all of that. And I also saw with your grandfather's path such dwarf galaxies, which were a class of galaxies that contained only a few hundred and 100,000 stars or suns, respectively. And they were very faint and barely visible in the universe. They are actually similar to small globular clusters, which I have also seen, but have very different properties to larger small galaxies, as Spath explained.
Dwarf galaxies, I know, are called ultralight dwarf galaxies by terrestrial astronomers.
I do know that, because I do not do much astronomy. I only did it with your grandfather because Smash said that I should have a basic knowledge of it so that I could understand this and that because it was important. For example, I learned from Smash that dwarf galaxies are the densest star system in all universes, whereby dwarf galaxies are only a few light years across at their widest, or can even be less than 10 light years across at their smallest. I know that our astronomers measure a light year at 9.4 trillion kilometers.
You do have some knowledge regarding astronomy.
What I have just learnt from Svath, as well as some more from Askit and Sim Jassy, as well as little from earthly astronomers who are unfortunately wrong about some things, which I do not want to talk about openly.
Because it would be.
Yes, the know-it-all. So it would just be like me carrying water into the Rhine, which already has enough flowing in it, but I still have a question.
You said it.
I have a question from a Samuel Hertig, who asked me about the so-called world egg, and namely what it is all about, because so much is said about conjecture, but nothing clear comes out of it, so he asked me if I might know more about it, which I really do, and which you also know, because as I know from Svath, this is part of your basic knowledge. He also wants to know what is to be defined in human beings as the seat of creation consciousness and physical consciousness. I would now like to ask you whether you...
No, you can answer and explain the question just as well.
I was hoping he would say that.
Billy already knows. He knows so much.
And I love that he explains why he knows it all and what he knows before asking a question.
Which Quetzal says, oh, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. You know. That's how you know that it's real. And he's definitely not making anything up.
And just scanning, this is really long, but scan. Oh, it's not. Never mind. It is. There's just a weird ad in the middle at one point.
Yeah,
but when you look at it, for the most part, Billy's doing most of the talking.
Oh, I didn't get it from what was happening already.
Yeah.
This girl. Well, we'll never know because I'm not fucking reading that far.
Oh.
Yeah, this is sorry. Long.
Yeah, it's really long.
It's real long. It probably just continues like we were doing, though.
Yeah, there is something about protection from assassination later on, but yeah, I think we got the gist.
What? Hold on.
Protection from assassination. The National Council recently heard Tamara Fuenicello loudly criticize that sheep in Switzerland are better protected than women. I doubt whether the statement is valid. After all, more sheep have been killed by wolves in recent years than women. Well, she's also not talking about that, but about money that the federal government should spend, and that is something we can talk about. Something else that she does not take into account gives me more food for thought. In Switzerland, women and also sheep are much better protected than embryos in the womb.
Oh, God.
In other words, little human beings with everything that belongs to life. They have no lobby in the federal parliament, not even Tamara. Her disappearance is without cost. No police reports them as missing, but there are also legions of human beings who are killed before they are even born without being asked. Even if we're only a product of evolution, a human being would still be a human being, but we are created and personally planned by the genius designer, each and every one of us. He knew us before the Earth existed, and he wants a relationship in exchange with us. That is what we are created for. If we enter into a relationship with him, the address is Jesus Christ. And we are better protected than all the sheep and women in the world. Because he knew us personally even before we were born and has a good plan for our future together with him.
Oh no.
Wow, and Quetzal responds to that. Yeah.
We've just switched.
Are you serious?
Are you serious? And that was written in the newspaper. In this newspaper? That cannot be true. That a newspaper? Why does Quetzal always just... They're always cutting each other off.
Yeah, but it is because apparently the editors of this paper are religious, and the man that is quite clear who wrote this, that is also clear to understand, he is irredeemably a believer and therefore not capable of seeing and recognizing what effectively corresponds to reality and truth. But he just idiotically believes in a dear God, which however does not exist. Reality and truth are obviously not important to him, but only faith, because he does not have to think for himself, and also does not have to think about anything, but he can simply eat everything by faith that is lied to him, so he can interpret everything according to erroneous and confused belief, just as he wants to see and understand it. I also think that the man is somehow irresponsible and insane, because what he writes about embryos and the dear God with regard to human beings, supposedly conceived and pre-planned by God, etc., corresponds to absolutely insane, sick-thinking beliefs and absolute nonsense, as well as very clearly a religious delusion. This proves that any rational self-thinking on the part of the man is so overlaid by the religious delusion of faith that they neither understand nor reason have a chance of ever breaking through. The man is actually to be pitied, but that does not mean that he can move on from this misguided belief to the truth. We should not be surprised that this is rampant overpopulation, which is turning the planet, nature, its fauna and flora, and all life in general into a pig and wiping it out with its evil might. The delusional belief that an imaginary, insane God is supposed to have nonsensically said, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the creatures that creep on the earth," that is probably the height of all imbecility. And this population will continue to grow even though the Earth is overpopulated already by more than 9.53 billion Earthlings. And in 3 to 4 years, at the turn of the year, they will be around 10 billion. The world population clock counts completely wrong because it only shows about 8.3 billion. While in reality, at the end of the last year, at the beginning of 2025, there was already 9.539 billion Earth humans. I forgot he had to specify that because there's humans elsewhere. This means that old and no longer valid world population clock incorrectly calculates the number of Earthlings at only 8.3 billion, which means that by the end of this year, the Earth's population will be increased by another 100 million, which will still have to be added this year because the Earth's population growth is to be calculated by around 100 million per year. This means that by the end of the year, the overpopulation figure will be around 9.63 billion or so, which is around 100 million more than the world population clock is currently counting. And what really bad things have come about as a result of the extremely large mass of humanity all over the world and through the fault of absolutely irresponsible, crazy old German chancellor who delusionally brought the refugee welcome culture into being has resulted and continues to result from the waves of refugees from the poor southern countries to the rich northern countries of the earth, whereby many thousands of such economic refugees have died so far. But the irresponsible ex-chancellor does not care about that because, on the contrary, she's apparently still proud of the fact that many thousands of refugees have lost their lives through her fault.
As to what the state of overpopulation is at the end of the year, I will bring you our exact calculation figure on the 1st of January 2026, but you should simply add it to this conversation afterwards. Consequently, I will not have to dictate another conversation to you then.
Wait, Quetzal's the one who gave him that population number?
I guess so.
Good, thank you. That is quite all right. And that is fine then.
That is so according to every belief and proves that just as when the operation of an apparatus no longer works and it can no longer be controlled in human beings, understanding and reason are completely suspended in their workings by faith and can no longer fulfill their purpose.
Interesting comparison, but plausible.
But now I want to dictate because that is what I came here to do. Oh yes, my friend on Era was able to tell me that our knowledge sphere, as you always call it, is 364 meters in diameter and 364 meters in height according to earthly measurements.
Then I missed by quite a bit. Because Michael asked me, I said that I estimated a length of at least 300 meters.
That is nothing more because you did not measure the object yourself, but now, my friend, I really want to dictate.
Good, I have no more questions. The 1st of January 2026 at 0200 hours. According to the latest census calculation by the Plejaren, the number of increases of Earth's population per year, 2025, is 116,386,017. Consequently, the latest level of overpopulation on Earth on the 31st of December 2025 at 2400 hours is 9,656,304,106 human beings. The statement of so-called experts, politicians, scientists, and sociologists, etc., that birth rates are too low and that more offspring urgently need to be produced and raised should not be trusted under any circumstances. In third world countries in particular, the annual increase in population due to new births is already immeasurable. Only in the few industrialized countries is the fertility rate births per women declining. But this is in no way sufficient to significantly reduce or even stop overpopulation. The political interest in increasing birth rates, which is also increasingly being propagated in industrialized countries, may be justified on the one hand by the prospect of higher tax revenues, but on the other hand also by the fact that belligerent countries and countries willing to wage war want to be concerned about the necessary human supply.
And then the next thing, FIGU has two new YouTube channels where you can find out more about Billy the Plejaren and the creation energy teaching. I clicked on the English one. I don't know. This is not Billy Meyer. I don't know who this is that's running this channel or how he's interviewing Billy, because it's just this guy talking. And I don't really have the energy to look through it right now.
Weird.
Yeah, but we
and might. And that guy's way too young to be Billy, yeah.
Yep, yeah.
That was and has two arms, sorry. I was like, oh, that should also be identified.
So I thought that was really funny that all Quetzal wanted to do was just fucking dictate some shit, but Billy wouldn't let him.
Man, Quetzal has his nose so far up.
I wonder for what
Billy's ass. There's a brown nose there for sure. You're so Billy, bright, you're Billy. So small. You're so smart. Why don't you give the answer, Billy? It's almost as if Quetzal is a figment of his imagination, and he just wants to be the very smart person that he is.
The final thing I really wanted to go through was just, I know we're all asking, why do the Pleiadians / Plagiarin only maintain contact with Billy Meier? Why don't they talk to anybody else?
Is it because he's a special boy?
It's because he's so smart and he doesn't actually have to ask any questions because the answers are always within him. This is an excerpt from the 24th contact meeting between Billy Meier and Sam Jassy on Saturday, June 7, 1975. I'll read the whole thing. It starts out with a quote from Sam Jassy. Quote, as a final attempt, I will now try to explain that any contact of any kind with other people besides you is completely impossible for the following reasons. Number one, when we come into contact with an earthling, this implies that they have completed decades of study in all areas. Billy's done it, as we saw.
All areas.
Number two, we can only communicate with earth humans if the necessary spiritual prerequisites are met. That's it. Simple. Yeah.
Just decades of studying everything.
And the necessary spiritual prerequisites, which are not even close to being alluded to in this fucking numbered system we have here. Number three.
Oh, that was nice of him. That it is important you be Billy Myers and he's a very special boy. Like, it's very clear.
No idea. Number three. We can only connect with an earthling when he has progressed so far in his development that he is able to independently work out and recognize the fundamental truth within him, without taking into account any statements by fellow human beings or any written works. Which brings me to the next point, number four. If we make contact with an earthling without these prerequisites being met, I cannot say that word. It's tough today.
Prerequisites. Then here, you can just fill in me there.
Yeah, I'll just say P and you say the rest. Then such contact constitutes only a temporary undertaking for a specific purpose. After the goal is achieved, the memory of us, etc., is eliminated from the person in question, as in the case of the individual through whom we had the Talmud, Jemmanuel, discovered. However, no tasks requiring public exposure can be imposed on such individuals because their memory is continuously erased and they are unaware of connections or precise facts. I will say yes, as a human, I'm completely unaware of precise facts. So he's not wrong. Yet, even such earthlings might be highly developed in very specific fields of knowledge, like the discoverer of the Talmud, who was very knowledgeable in languages and to whom we unfortunately place too much responsibility. Number five, when we interact with people on Earth, we do so according to certain higher orders and only in the precise number of prescribed forms. This is partly because too many people involved in the primary process would spoil everything. In interpreting this, I'm reminded of a proverb you often use, Billy, which is very apt in this matter. Quote, too many cooks spoil the broth, end quote. This fact also proves its validity in the laws and commandments of creation and maintains the immutable order. Creation alone is the determining factor. And number six, we must not make ourselves visible to more people than is necessary to fulfill our responsibilities. This caution stems from specific private military and official demands aimed at seizing our ships and all other possessions. What kind of possessions do you think that they have that we want? Probably all of them.
Yeah.
Contact with multiple individuals would therefore be dangerous for ourselves. Consequently, we can only maintain contact with people who are known to us as absolutely trustworthy and secure in every single aspect. This is of paramount importance, especially for our specific task with you and your group. We must be absolutely certain that the contact person will, if necessary, prevent any serious consequences by all conceivable means. Number 7, the fact that we only reveal ourselves to very specific select individuals and communicate with them through secret channels and in remote locations also stems from this. Countless people crave sensationalism and selfishness and would only wish to contact us for these reasons. Furthermore, there are countless others who would panic upon seeing us, which could have very dangerous consequences. These are just 7 reasons why we cannot grant HJ's request. No idea who that is. Many more reasons could be given, but the ones mentioned should be sufficient. A list of further reasons, such as different vibrations between Pleiadians and Earthlings, can also be found in Guido Mooseberger's book, And Yet They Fly. Okay, that's just... So Billy Meyer is the chosen one. And do you think that Corey Good ever thought about using this for the Blue Avians?
There's a chance. There's a very distinct chance, but it would have to be it couldn't be because it's not unique enough.
I'm thinking about sending this to him. This would solve all his problems he's having currently, I think.
Yeah. They said they're sending him home with the transcript from it. Maybe he just resubmits that in his place.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not plagiarized at all. From Billy Meyer. Then he'd get sued by fucking Billy Meyer.
See, I think Billy Meyer's a lot less litigious than Corey Good.
Holy shit. Okay, we're good. Let's end it now.
Yeah. Okay.
That was fun.
And with that, I have been Taylor, here with Chelsea. We are Journey to the Fringe. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Journey to the Fringe. If you have liked what you have listened to, please like, share, subscribe, or follow, depending on what venue you are listening to us through. Also, please, if possible, leave a 5-star review, as that really helps us in the algorithms. Should you wish to interact with us, please check us out on your social media of choice. I bet you we are there. And if you really want to communicate with us and give us ideas for new episodes or tell us that we're wrong and terrible, either way, please send us an email at journeytothefringe@gmail.com. For now, I'll see you in the next episode.